It's your home. And that's the ball of advice I got out the door.
Royalties.
Royalties. You got it. I'll let you know when those checks are coming in. Okay, good luck, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you to Mark and Rena and the extended Kristoff family for opening their home once again. It's great. It's really great being here. The only hesitation I ever have about coming here is just physically getting here. It's always a battle on the George Washington Bridge, especially on Motzei Shabbos. But Baruch Hashem, we're here, and it's almost Purim. And there's a lot to learn about, a lot to think about. And I want to share what I think is maybe a unique certainly a new idea for myself, a new approach to the Yom Tov of Purim. If I were to ask you to pick a personality in Tanakh who's the embodiment of Purim, so who would you pick?
Mordechai.
You'd say Mordechai, you'd say Esther. If you're feeling a little sinister, you'd say Achashverosh, you'd say Haman. If you're trying to be cutesy, you might say Hasach or Harvona. How many people, by show of hands, would pick or could even try to explain Yitzchak Avinu? Yitzchak Avinu is the paradigmatic personality of Purim. Yitzchak Avinu. If there's anyone we think about on Purim, it's Yitzchak Avinu. Anyone? Okay, so I was more or less in your boat not that long ago, and I started thinking about an idea. Tina Svas Emes, Hanukkah time. I started collecting ideas, and I want to try to put together tonight a presentation where we could argue that Yitzchak Avinu is really the person, more so than anyone else, who's the embodiment, whose physical existence and his spiritual life is the embodiment of Purim. Okay. So let's first just try to prove a little bit that Yitzchak has anything bechlal to do with Purim. The first thing that probably comes to mind, which we could probably think of, is that Yitzchak, if you think about his very name, the laughter of Yitzchak, for which he was named, is certainly thematically connected to Purim. If you look in the Sefer Yetzirah, which is one of the earliest works of Kabbalistic literature, perhaps attributed to Avraham Avinu himself. Some say Rabbi Akiva wrote it, Avraham Avinu maybe wrote it. In the Sefer Yetzirah, it describes an action for every month. And not shockingly at all, the action for the month of Adar is the action of laughter. The Simcha of Adar is very much expressed. And Yitzchak is a person of Schok and Schok, right? Schok with a sin and with a tzali. That he's a person of who's a person whose very name, and of course the name of a person being their essence, is laughter. And therefore we see a small connection, perhaps in Yitzchak's name, to the month of Adar. Let's go a little bit deeper. The three regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, each of the three regalim, the Sfas Emes writes in his writings on Chanukah, has a corresponding Yom Tov Dirabbanan. So for example, Sukkot corresponds to Chanukah. Chanukah and Sukkot have a link. 8 days of Chanukah, 8 days of Sukkot, many, many connections that the Sfarim give. You read Sfarim on Chanukah and on Sukkot, you'll invariably find an article, an essay about Chanukah and Sukkot being connected. Pesach, the corresponding Yom Tov Derabanan of Pesach, has yet to emerge in the world. When Mashiach comes, the Yom Tov that we create for Mashiach will correspond to the original Gula. Right? There's a Gol Rishon, a Gol Achron. So just like Pesach is where it all begins for Klal Yisrael, Mashiach will be, there'll be a Yom Tov that's going to emerge eventually, the Yom Tov that will correspond to Pesach. And lastly, Shavuos corresponds, says the Sfas Emes, to Purim. What's the connection between Shavuos and Purim? So this we could do, Kabbalah Satorah. Right. Shavuos, of course, was the time when the Jewish people initially received the Torah. As the Gemara describes, Kof Aleihem Har Kegigis, we got pressured into it. It wasn't something that we felt fully comfortable with, whatever it was, whatever exactly the hesitation was, different opinions. But Purim, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Peches, the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah out of love. So there's a link between Purim and Shavuos that they're both Zmanim of Kabbalah Satorah. We can take it a step further, though. If you look in the Torah, look in the writings of the Torah, the Arba Turim, in his writings on Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, chapter 4:17 of the Shulchan Aruch, of Arachayim, he says there, in the name of his brother, that the three regalim correspond to the three avos. Avram corresponds to Pesach. Yaakov corresponds to Sukkot. Yitzchak corresponds to Shavuos. That's what the Torah discusses in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, if Yitzchak corresponds to Shavuos, by extension, Yitzchak Avinu must somehow correspond to Purim. We have to figure out what about Yitzchak is so Purimic. What's the lesson in the life of Yitzchak that informs us about Purim? Let's go a step further. Mishenechnas Adar, Marvin B'Simcha. We explain that Yitzchak is laughter. What's a mitzvah that the Jewish people do today and have always done B'Simcha? Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Kuf Lamedam and Aleph. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem B'Simcha. Any mitzvah that the Jews throughout history have performed with a sense of tremendous joy, of Simcha, they still do it with simcha. So, for example, what's a mitzvah? What's again? What's the ultimate example of a mitzvah the Jews do? Again, surprisingly, we do it with great simcha, even though it's a very frightening mitzvah, the mitzvah of bris milah. The mitzvah of milah, the Gemara says, Sos anochi al imrosecha kemot yeshal arav, Yehudim aysa ora v'simcha v'sason, the Gemara says, Sason zu milah. Apparently, milah is the ultimate example of a mitzvah that we do v'simcha. Who's the first person to get the ideal bris milah on the eighth day? The first person was Yitzchak Avinu. And therefore, the simcha of Adar, Mishnechas Adar Marvin b'simcha, the ultimate example of something Jews do b'simcha is bris milah. Yitzchak is the first Jew to really receive bris milah in that fashion. It's interesting. You look in Tosos over there. Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who explains very interestingly, quotes a Medrash, Lam Natzeach al Hashminis. The Medrash says, in the, describing the party that Avram Avinu made for his son, Beyom Higamal. So Rabbeinu Tam apparently understood it. Higamal is Hey, Gimel, Mal. Hey is 5, Gimel is 3, Hey and 5 and 3 is 8. Right, then on the 8th day, Mal, that Yitzchak had a bris milah, and Avram made a big party. Avram made a big party for his son when he had a bris milah. Like we make a big party for Purim. There's no Yom Tov where we highlight the Mishnah, like Avram himself created this. V'yas Avram Mishnah Gadol, V'yom Higamal as Yitzchak. So therefore, that's also a connection to Purim. Okay, here's one that's a continuation of that that might sound very surprising. The Divrei Yecheskel, the Shin of Rebbe, the son of the Divrei Chaim, of sons. The Divrei Yecheskel quotes from Rav Baruch of Mezhvuz, who was a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, who said on this Pasuk, Harav HaKadosh Marina Rav Baruch Mezhvuz, Amar, Ki Merumas Purim B'Torah. Where do we find a hint to Purim in the Torah? Vayas Avram Mishte Gadol B'Yom Higamal, as Yitzchak, says Rav Baruch of Mezhvuz, Higamal is Osios Megillah. Higamal is Osios Megillah. Okay. And then he went on, he said some other things. Was he being serious? Was he joking? But again, we're starting to see, somehow Yitzchak always has some strange connection, a very strange and unusual connection to the Yom Tov of Purim. There's a very, very deep sefer called the Bris Kahunas Olam. And the Bris Kahunas Olam, in his maimer on Purim, called Hastir Astir, in Perek Lamed Ches, he says, Higamal Yitzchak is Gematria Pur. That's what the Yom Tov is, right? It's called Purim Hashem HaPur. That Pur is Gematria Higamal Yitzchak, 286. Again, we're scrounging, we're scrapping, we're trying to find these seemingly very loose connections. It's hard to put it together, but again, we're getting this trace that maybe something about Purim can be learnt from Yitzchak Avinu. Maybe even more so than the characters of the Megillah itself. There's something unique about Yitzchak and the fight for the Jewish existence on the Yom Tov of Purim. Another example. I only have a couple more. I'm just trying to prove a point. This is I think I have to make a case for this. It's a little strange. I don't think most people would pick Yitzchak as the paradigm of the Purim personality. This past Shabbos, we read Parshas Tetzaveh. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has a very interesting comment in Parshas Tetzaveh. It's at the beginning. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh quotes a Zohar, which explains that the four exiles of Jewish history have four corresponding redeemers. So who redeemed us from the first exile? The first Geula came about, Babel, Galus Babel, we were saved, B'schus, Avram Avinu. The second Galus, B'schus Yitzchak. The third Galus, B'schus Yaakov. The fourth and final Galus, B'schus, Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, the reason that we're still in Galus is because we don't take the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu seriously. And if we would learn more seriously, then Moshe would take us out of this exile. But Moshe is not interested, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, in redeeming Batlanim min HaTorah. The Lashon of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. So again, he doesn't make this connection, but I think it's very obvious to us. The second exile in history, which apparently Yitzchak is the one, according to the Zohar, that were redeemed in the Schus of Yitzchak, the second exile in history is the story of Purim. The Galus of Paras Umadai apparently corresponds to Yitzchak Avinu. And again, we're still trying to understand what is it all about. Okay, maybe a final one for now. There's a sefer called the Meloha Omer. And he writes, again, take it or leave it, the Megillah opens, Parak Aleph Pasek Dalet, the Megillah basically begins with Ahasuerus' party, which lasts 180 days. Writes the sefer Meloha Omer, and he explains it, B'derach Drush, 180 days. Ah, because Yitzchak Avinu lives 180 years. Okay? What does Yitzchak Avinu have to do with the party of Achashverosh that lasted 180 days? Again, you're looking at these are big tzaddikim. They're not just saying things that have no basis. There must be a common thread that all these tzaddikim are finding these allusions to Yitzchak by Purim. The Chassam Sofer. Again, it sounds strange, but it's the Chassam Sofer. We have to take it seriously. The Chassam Sofer writes in the first volume of Drushos. He says that we know, the Gemara has a discussion, how many children did Haman have who were involved in the destruction of Klai Yisrael, or trying to destroy Klai Yisrael? So we know, of course, the 10 sons were hanging on the tree. One opinion in the Gemara is that there were 30 sons. One opinion in the Gemara is there were 208 sons. 208, the Gematria Right? Virov banav. Haman virov banav. So the Gemara says, virov, that's 214. No, you don't know how to spell. Vav, resh, beis is how it's spelled in the Megillah. That's 214. That's 208. Not 214. So Haman had 208 sons. Okay? So says the Chassam Sofer, one of his drashas, and again he tries to explain it in his own way. He says, 208 is Gematria Yitzchak. So somehow you see that Haman and his children are somehow the Zelu Umazda, the negative expression, the very opposite of everything that Yitzchak Avinu stands for. So again, my friends, I ask you to help me to try to figure this out. What is the most important lesson in the life of Yitzchak Avinu, and how does it perhaps, in some way, shed a little light on the Yom Tov of Purim? So I think when we think about the life of Yitzchak Avinu, and we think about what happened on Purim, I think there's a very simple and powerful lesson that we can take from the very existence of Yitzchak Avinu. Let's try to take our heads out of, you know, storybook mode, and try to actually picture what it must have been like for a Jew in Shushan Abira at the time of this Gezerah of Haman. We know the end of the story, so we read the Megillah, and even the sad parts of the Megillah, we're reading in the Tune of Eicha. We're not so nervous, we're not so worried. Things are going to work out fine. But imagine what it was like to be a Jew, living at that time, knowing that the decree had been issued, and had been signed and sealed by the king. Haman has given all this power. Mordechai seems to be making terrible decisions, threatening the life of Klal Yisrael, putting us in a very dangerous position. It was a terrifying thing. So much so that the Megillah describes, in describing the fear in the fourth parak, the Megillah says, "Uvechol medino medina, makom asher devar ha-melech v'daso magia." Wherever the word of this terrible decree reached, it was an evel gadol la-Yehudim. Evel, milashon avelus. Mourning, the Jews were mourning. The Vilna Gaon in this commentary on the Megillah says, the Jews were sitting shiva for themselves. It was over. They were dead. There was no hope. Achashverosh ruled the world. He's one of the three people, the Gemara says, who ruled Bekipa. He dominated the entire civilized world. And the letters were out, and there was no retracting them. As we see, even when the Jews were able to defend themselves, they were never retracted the original decree. Evel gadol la-Yehudim, the Vilna Gaon says, they were literally mourning their own death before it took place, because there was zero chance that they were going to survive. It was game over. There was no chance that Klal Yisrael were going to emerge. And yet, v'nahafachu, we survived. To such a degree that many Svarim look at it really as t'chias ha-mesim. Evel gadol, they sat shiva, we were dead. And then somehow, v'nahafachu, mamish t'chias ha-mesim, the Jewish people came back and they were able to live. In fact, the Gemara seems to say that almost explicitly. Megillah daf yudal ram al-af, the Gemara tells us, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, if we left Mitzrayim, we were slaves, and then we were freed, we say Halel. So Mimisa Lachayim lo kol shekein. On Purim, when we went from death to life, all the more so. Now you can obviously understand the Mimisa Lachayim to mean what? The threat of Misa, the concern that we will die. Not that we actually died. But in a certain sense, we were dead. Klal Yisrael were dead. They were mourning themselves. There was no chance that they were going to survive. And yet somehow, what the Gemara calls Mimisa L'chaim, Klal Yisrael actually survived. And they reemerged. And they were able to do the impossible. What seemingly was completely impossible. There's an amazing little biography of the Chacham Tzvi, called the Toldos from Tzvi Hirsch Ashkenazi, that was his name, the Chacham Tzvi, the great Gadol, the great Posek that he was, Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi tells a story about his father. Now you have to understand, the Chacham Tzvi was an unbelievable Gadol. His son, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, we're talking about a great rabbinic line. And it all came about through the following story. He tells the following unbelievable story. He says that when his father was a young man, it was during the massacres of Tach V'Tat, 1649. He said his father was taken by the Cossacks. They were taken, he was put on line, a whole line of Jews, and there was an executioner standing at the front of the line, chopping Jews' heads off. Literally executing them one by one. And he was on line. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yod that as Jews we have to believe in the impossible. A Jew should never give up hope. A person should always, even if the sharp sword is at your neck, a person should never despair from the possibility of Rachmei Shemayim. There's no more literal story that captures that Gemara than this story that I read in the biography of the Chacham Tzvi. He said his father was online, 1649, Jews getting their heads chopped off and being thrown into a big dish, Rachmana Litzlan. He said his father reached the line. Afilu cher, like the Gemara says, afilu cher, even if the sharp sword is at your neck, never despair. There's always hope. You never know. For a Jew, it's never over. He says he gets to the front of the line. The executioner looks at him. His head is on the chopping block. He said the executioner looks at him. So my father, apparently, Chacham Tzvi said, my father had a very youthful appearance. He was a young man at the time, but he had an especially youthful appearance. And for some strange reason, the executioner looked at him, and he said, ach, such a pity, such a waste to kill such a young child. And he took the back end of his axe and he He smacked him with the blunt end, and he knocked him into the ditch where all the bodies were. And he lay there for the remainder of the day, and he was able to escape that night and be able to survive. He was able to survive. We have the Chacham Tzvi, we have Yaakov Emden. We have the many great Torah works that they wrote, and their descendants, that great rabbinic family, emerged because of a Jew who, in a remarkable way, at the last moment, was able to be saved. Jews never give up. There's a possibility of Nisa T'chaim. One of the principles of our faith is the possibility of living with the reality called T'chias HaMesim. And therefore, I think the connection between Yitzhak Avinu, all these loose threads that we're trying to tie together, how in the most simple way do we see Yitzhak Avinu as the personality of Purim? It's very simple to me. You look at the life of Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu, the way Chazal understand it, experienced T'chias HaMesim. He goes to the Akedah. He's there. He's tied up. At the last minute, to our eyes, it looks like it's called off. It's canceled. That's not how Chazal saw. Chazal say, the Gemara in Brachos and Tanis and Zvachim all use a lashon. They refer to the what? The Afer, the ashes of Yitzhak Avinu. So I'll ask you, what ashes of Yitzhak Avinu? The Akedah was called off. He wasn't slaughtered. He wasn't burnt. He was never the Ola Tmima, that perfect carbon that he was supposed to be. So what are the ashes that Chazal is describing? And the answer is very simple. The answer is Chazal understood that Yitzchak, in a certain sense, he did die. The Maisa was completed. The Akedah happened. The Medrash in so many places says that the Eifer shel Yitzchak ki ilu tzaber agave mizbech. And the Mizbech shamala, the ashes of Yitzchak Avinu are gathered there. And that's why Yom Naram and Slichos, we always come back to this Chus of Akedah. What's this Chus of the Akedah? That Avram tried to go to the Akedah? No, he did it. In Shemayim, he accomplished it. It was over. And the fact that Yitzchak comes down from the Akedah, and he comes down that mountain, it's Mamish T'chias HaMesim. And that's the story of Purim. Mimisa L'chaim. How could the Jews not celebrate? Right? The laughter of Yitzchak, the ironic laughter of Yitzchak, is that there's a certain type of laughter that could only come from a deep sorrow, from a terrible sorrow, from a terrible struggle. When a person feels that everything's over, and then things turn around, there's a certain laugh that comes out from them. That's the laughter of Yitzchak. That's the salvation of Yitzchak. That's what we learn from Akedas Yitzchak. Remember, many years ago, I was teaching in KABC before I taught in Yeshiva University, and we were learning about Akedas Yitzchak. And the pasuk describes, as Avram's on his way to the Akedah, Avram says, "You wait here, Shvu lechem po amachamor, we're going to go take care of business, v'nashuva aleichem, and we'll be back." So of course, the pashup shah was that we're not coming back, Yitzchak's not coming back. So why did Avram say, "We will be back"? Rashi said maybe he was being misnabe, he was offering a prophecy without even realizing what he was saying. He didn't know at that point that we would come back, that Yitzchak would actually come back. Ibn Ezra has a pshat, different pshatim. One of my students, who's unfortunately not particularly religious today, whenever I say this word, I hope as a tefillah to Hashem, they'll inspire this Jew's neshama to once again come back. But he said such a beautiful thing. Imagine Yitzchak does die in the Akedah. So what's the "we will come back"? Who's the "we will come back"? And the student said, in such a simplistic and holy way, "we will come back" was the Avraham Avinu saying, "even if you take away Yitzchak from me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I waited 100 years for this child. He's 37 years old. The only reason I wanted to have a Yitzchak was to continue your legacy, God, to teach monotheism, to teach Torah. And now you're taking it all away from me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, guess what? V'nashuva, we will be back. We, the capital we, the royal we. Klal Yisrael is not giving up." That's the lesson of Yitzchak Avinu. Whether he dies at the Akedah, whether he doesn't die at the Akedah. It's a T'chias HaMesim. But I want to say even more simple than that. Let's think about the birth of Yitzchak Avinu. Let's learn a piece together. Amazing little Torah from Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. This is from the Divrei Sofer. The Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Shem Olam has almost the exact same Yisod. It's a beautiful idea. Really an amazing idea. It's in the Sefer Divrei Sofer, Os Tesvach. Listen to these words. It's unbelievable. Rav Tzadok says, and I think this is really the connection between Yitzchak Avinu and Purim. It's not the Akedah. The Akedah is also a T'chias HaMesim. And Purim itself was T'chias HaMesim. But the very fact that there was a Yitzchak, the first Jew, not just the Simcha of the Bris Milah, the first, forget all of that. The very simple fact that Yitzchak Avinu exists, and by extension, Klal Yisrael exists, the first Jewish baby born to Jewish parents, so to speak, says Rav Tzadok in the Divrei Sofer, listen to these words, they're unbelievable. Ein la Yehudi l'esiyayish mishum davar. A Jew cannot be a person of despair. It goes against our very nature. It goes against our history. It's impossible. A Jew should never, ever give in and give up. Mishum davar, from anything in the world. Bein bein yonei haguf, whether it comes to physical matters, he quotes that Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud, even if the sharp sword is against your neck, bein bein yonei hanefesh. The same thing is true when it comes to spiritual matters. Afilu nishtaka l'makom shenishtaka. Even if a person sinks into a low place, the Jews were on the 49th level of Tumah, a second away from descending in Mitzrayim to the Shahr HaNun, to the point of no return, and yet we fought our way back to Har Sinai. That's the story of Klal Yisrael. A Jew never gives up. A Jew always believes physically we can survive. Spiritually, I can rebuild. Even if I sinned in certain matters. He says, even things that Chazal say you can't even do tshuva for. It's not true. You have to push. A Jew has to always try. To try, to try, to try. To believe it's possible. And then he says an amazing thing. About the MS me'eitz Hashem ha'isizos. He says, think about Avram and Sarah. Avram is old. Sarah is old. It's not possible. Simply put, it's not possible for them to have children. It's not possible. Sarah laughs. She doesn't think it's possible that they can have a child. And yet, says the Tzaduk, about the MS me'eitz Hashem ha'isizos, but this was all part of Hashem's master plan. Why is the first Jewish child born from impossibility? Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu build our people out of the impossible? Out of the ultimate Vina Hafahu, it can't be and then it is. About the MS me'eitz Hashem ha'isizos, it's the master plan. She abinyan ha'uma dafka acher ha'yeyush ha'gamar. That after it's all over, when it seems like nothing can happen, that's where the Jewish people start. Klal Yisrael start after everyone else has given up. To the point that even Avram and Sarah are laughing. Or at least Sarah's laughing. And Avram may be rejoicing, Sarah's laughing. It's interesting, the Sfarim say that the gematria of Avraham Avinu is exactly gematria Yeyush. Because he's the Zelu Umazeh of Yeyush. Zelu Umazeh means that if there's a negative koch in the world called Yeyush, Avram becomes the antithesis of that. I'm going to keep believing. Sarah laughs, Avram tries, they hope. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu works the impossible. And therefore it's dafka, after everything is over, that Yitzhak Avinu, the first Jewish baby, the founder of our people in a certain sense, is born. Shalahamin b'shum adam ba'afilu sarah shetivka. That there was no hope, no one believed, it was impossible. Kizeh kol ha'adam ha'yisraeli lahamin she'ein le'isya yishkla. And all of this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of teaching Klal Yisrael that a Jew never gives up. And when everyone else is laughing, and when Haman thinks the decree is final, and that I've got complete control of the situation, the Machsheves Haman, as the Megillah describes it, it's never over. There's always, always a possibility for you, for a Yid, for a Jew to try again. And that's Yitzchak Avinu, and that's the essence of Purim. The essence of Purim is when it looks like it's all over. The Ruchnias or Vagashvias. A Jew tries again. I have to tell you an amazing schus I had this past Sunday. It's my fourth time having this opportunity, and it doesn't get old. I promise you, it doesn't get old. There's an amazing organization called The Time. They're involved in helping people with infertility. Really an amazing organization. It was started by this fellow, Rabbi Shaul Rosen, Chassidus Shagai, who he and his wife, when they suffered, when they went through the difficulty of having children when they were first married, he felt that they suffered alone, and he said, I'm not going to let another Jew suffer alone. And he built this mega organization that helps people in so many resources to help people who've been waiting for so long to have a child to do their hashtavas, again, baruchlias uvagashmias, to help people to have a child. So they run this program the last 5 years. I've been zochet to be on four of them. The last 4 years, called the Shasathon. The Shasathon takes place in Long Branch, a hotel near Deal, and about 400 men get together. Everyone learns 10 blah. They divide up all of Shas into 277 slots. Now a lot of people come with Harusa, so it's now closer to about 450 people. And in one day, you spend the whole day, you have a morning Seder, you have an afternoon Seder, by the end of the day, you finish the entire Shas. Finish the entire Shas. 2,711 dafim. And it's an amazing thing. Hasidish Jews and Litvish Jews and Sephardi Jews, it's a beautiful day. And the stories that people get up and tell about individuals and couples who've struggled for so long to have children, it's so unbelievable. You would think like the whole thing is staged, like it's not even possible. A fellow got up this year. They raised $3 million on top of that, so it's pretty remarkable. This fellow gets up this year, and he says, my wife and I were married for 9 years. We weren't blessed with children. He said, I came last year to the Time Shastathon, and I was very inspired, and I learned, and I raised tzedakah to help other couples, and we daven together. It's an unbelievable day. And he says, he points to like the doorway, and he says, and now the results are in. And his friend walks in, carrying these two twins, a baby boy and a baby girl. And this fellow gets up on stage after 9 years of marriage, and he says, finally, we were able, Baruch Hashem, to have a child. And standing ovation, it's unbelievable, everyone with tears in their eyes. Rabbi Rosen gets up, again, the founder of the organization, he speaks beautifully, heavy Hasidish accent, he speaks so beautifully. And he's telling this whole story. He says, last year at the Shasathon, a young man came over to me by breakfast. And he said, my wife and I have been married for a long time. It's been 5-6 years already. All our friends have children. I have younger siblings. It's so uncomfortable for us. He said, Rabbi Rosen, next year I want to be able to stand on the stage and share my personal journey at the Shasathon. Rabbi Rosen's telling this story. And he says, all I could say to him was, amen. I didn't know what else to say. Maybe yes, maybe no. We'll try. And sometimes they have people come up and say, you know, we're not there yet. It's not always a happy ending. Rabbi Rosen's telling this story. He says, let's call him Menachem. We'll pretend his name is Menachem. Let's call him Menachem. Menachem goes over to me. He says, next year I want to be on the stage. I want to share my personal journey. And he tells this whole story. And Rabbi Rosen's really like, you have no idea which way this story is going. And at the end, he lets out this sigh. And I was like, okay, I guess that's it. It's not. They weren't blessed yet. Okay, we'll keep davening. We'll keep trying. Hopefully this year is chosim and all the money that was raised. Maybe next year. He hangs his head low, and then all of a sudden he lifts up his head. He says, "And now I'd like to introduce Menachem Friedman, whatever the guy's name is. His real name is Menachem." He calls him up to the stage, standing ovation. Just 4 weeks ago, we had a baby, and Rabbi Rosen was a son. They got the bris. They got pictures on the screen. It's unbelievable. But that's Klal Yisrael. That's Pashup Shad in Klal Yisrael. Ein Lihudi L'Siyayish Klal. It's impossible for a Jew to think that it's over. And when the rest of the Jews think it's over, so there's a Mordechai who stands up. There's a Mordechai who says, "I'm not going to give up. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing, because I know the secret of Klal Yisrael. I know the secret of Klal Yisrael, that we came, the very birth of Klal Yisrael, came after Yeyush Gomor, when it was all over." The Rambam writes, in Hilchos Megillah, in the second parak, Kol Sifrei HaNeviim, the Kol HaKsuvim, Asidin Libatel. All of the books of Tanakh are eventually going to be batel, with one exception. Obviously with the Torah is eternal. But there's one book of Nach that we take with us to the Gula. And that is what? Chutz Megillas Esther. All of the books of Nach, we're going to retire them. I'm not going to throw them out, God forbid, but they're not going to have the status of Kisrei HaKodesh the same way they do now, right, when we come to Mashiach. But there's one book that we take with us to Mashiach. And then the Rambam goes on, the Rambam says, there's also one Yom Tov that we take to Mashiach. That Yom HaPurim will never be batel. It's based on a Medrash, in Yerushalmi. That Purim is the Yom Tov that continues to exist. Because when Mashiach comes, the celebration of Mashiach is going to overshadow the Pesach and the Sukkot and the Shavuos, but Purim is forever. Why? Because Purim represents that, again, that eternal quality of Klal Yisrael. The indestructible essence of the Jewish people, which is embodied by Yitzchak Avinu, being born from a place of complete impossibility. Sarah is laughing, Avram is old, it's not possible. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's where I want Klal Yisrael to come from. That a Jew should always know there's always a possibility. And never give up, and keep trying. And pick yourself up again, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Esther, the Sfarim say, that when a Jew finds himself or herself feeling trapped and feeling down and feeling rejected and feeling like I've let HaKadosh Baruch Hu down and let myself down and let people in my life down too many times. Dig deep. Try to find something good within that. Try to find that possibility to start over. The Sfarim say that the name Esther is Aleph Seser. Aleph is Alufo Shal Olam. The month of Adar is Aleph Dar. That the Alufo Shal Olam, the master of the world, dwells in our life. When things are Seser, when things are concealed, when you don't see what's going on, when you read 167 Psukim of Megillas Esther, and you don't find Hashem's name in it once, and you're wondering, where is Hashem in all of this? Esther, Aleph Seser, the Aleph, the one above, is hidden. Dig deeper. Don't give up. Don't misread the situation. Don't think that there's no hope. Don't say Shiva for yourself, you Jewish people. Evil Gadol Yehudim, they were mourning themselves. They had given up on themselves. The Hamans of the world want us to give up. But Klal Yisrael take a lesson from Yitzhak Avinu, from Purim, and we keep pushing. Megillah says, in the very first parak, at the party of Achashverosh, Vahashtiya Kedas Ein Ones, Ki Kein Yisad HaMelech Al Kol Rav Beso Lasos, Kirtzon Ish V'Ish. That the party should be in accordance with the desire of each and every person. That's the Pashup Shat, Kirtzon Ish, as the desire of each person. The Gemara in Megillah says in Daf Yud Beis, Lasos Kirtzon Ish V'Ish, Amar Rava. It's always Rava. Rava is the one who tells us to drink on Purim. Rava is the one who says in Gemara and Shabbos, Kimu V'Kiblu, the Jews re-accepted the Torah, V'Me Achashverosh, Shadar Kiblua. It's always Rava. Rava has a deep connection to Purim. For another time. There's a lot of secrets there about Rava. But Rava says, Lasos Kiritzon Ish V'Ish. Who is Ish V'Ish? Ish V'Ish is Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Avira. And Haman is called Ish Tzahar V'Oyev. So they're both called Ish. Ish V'Ish. Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger, who's a very unique and special personality in Eretz Yisrael, writes a lot of Svarim, very special Hasidish Yid. Rav Kluger writes in one of his two Svarim on Megillas Esther, section of essays, he has a volume that has a running commentary. In that volume, with the running commentary, Megillas Esther, he says, Ish V'Ish. He says, Mordechai is an Ish, and Haman's a V'Ish. What's the difference? He says an amazing thing. And I thought of part of this a couple of years ago. I was so excited when I saw it. Ish is Rashi Tevos, Ein Shum Yayish. Mordechai is an Ish Yehudi. And Ish Yehudi is Ein Shum Yayish. I'll never give up. V'Ish, Haman is Va'ish, Kratzon Ish, Va'ish. Va'ish is the same Osios as Yayish. So Haman's trying to get the Jewish people to surrender. And Mordechai says, no, I'm an Ish Yehudi, Ein Shum Yayish. I'll never give up. I'll never surrender. I come from the impossible. I come from Yitzhak Avinu. It comes from a place of complete impossibility. And even if you knock me down, as you will, I'm going to pick myself back up. And I'll try again. And I'll try again. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. Like the Pasuk says in Mishlei. A Tzadik falls seven times. V'Am Echulam Tzadikim. We're all Tzadikim. Every man, woman, and child is a tzaddik of the Jewish people. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. We'll fall and we'll fall and we'll fall, but we'll try again. That's the secret of the Jewish people. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov writes in the Likutei Moran in the second volume, he says, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vikam is Sofei Tevos Amalek. Because Amalek's the one who tries to knock us down once and for all. Stay down. Give up. Surrender. Ad Kan. Haman's in charge now. The ring has been removed. Everything is signed and sealed. There's no chance. Yeyush, surrender. And the Jewish people say, no. We're going to try again. Kaveh al Hashem. Chazak v'yamitz libecha. V'kaveh al Hashem. Pasuk in Tehillim Parak Chafzai. We tried. Kaveh al Hashem. I put my hope in Hashem. I believe in the Aleph. The Aleph Seser, even when it looks like Hashem is nowhere to be found, I look for that Aleph. The Sfarim say that Aleph, if you spell out the word Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei. Aleph Lamed Pei is Gematria Kaveh. It's 111. Hope, the hope. Right, find that hope. Find that hidden hope. Kaveh al Hashem. Put your hope in Hashem. And you know what happens when it doesn't work out? Chazak v'yamitz libecha. Strengthen yourself again. Pick yourself up. V'kaveh al Hashem. Try again. The Sfarim say, Kaveh al Hashem plus Kaveh al Hashem is Gematria Purim. Because the Jew who hopes and is disappointed and then tries again, that's a Purim Jew. Ish Yehudi. Ish Yehudi. An ancient Yeish Jew. Named Mordechai. Where is he from? Shushan Habir. I saw the Ben Yishchai from the Sfarim in the room. The Ben Yishchai writes, in one of the Sfarim on the Megillah, the Ben Yishchai says, Kaveh al Hashem. Chazak v'yamitz libecha. V'kaveh al Hashem. The whole Pasuk is Gematria Shushan. Ish Yehudi Hayy v'Shushan Habir. There's a Jew in Shushan who says, I will never give in. I will never surrender because I know who I come from. Asher karcha v'derech, you can make it cold, you can make it still and lifeless. We're going to find that spark of life. The Jewish people always look for that aleph seser, that hidden spark of life. When it looks like it's all over, we keep digging, we keep trying, we keep reconnecting. The Sfarim wonder, the Sefer Halacha even brings it, the Elia Rabba brings it. Why did Haman decide to kill us on the 13th of Adar? Why not the 7th of Adar? He was excited that the lottery landed in Adar. Because he knew that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died, so he was very excited. Okay. Moshe dies on the 7th of Adar. So why did he try to kill us on the 7th of Adar? So the Elia Rabba, in his writings in Halacha, I think it's Tafresh Sadi Gimel, in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes from the Abu Jaham, one of the late Rishonim, who said that, no, Haman was very smart. Haman waited for the 13th of Adar, because that was the end of the Shiva of Moshe Rabbeinu. During Shiva, the person's still there, the neshama is still present. Right? But again, whether that's a spiritual, metaphysical concept, whether that just means we're talking a lot about that person. But after Shiva, it's time to start moving on. Haman says the 13th of Adar, that's when the Jews give up on their Moshe Rabbeinu. That's when they give up on the Torah, which transmitted to them through Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Jewish people don't give up. We keep trying. The 13th of Adar, interesting. The Sfarim say, and there's different ways to arrange it, different ways to explain this. Some say that the Makkah of Choshech took place in Adar. That the Makkah of Choshech took place in Adar. Okay? If the Makkah of Choshech took place in Adar, that means that that was the time when 4/5 of Klal Yisrael, during those 3 days of darkness, that the Jewish people died. That 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died. So Haman says, Adar. Adar's a good month. Adar's not only a time when Egyptians suffer, Adar's a time when Jews die as well. The Chidah, I saw in the writings of the Chidah, another great Sfaradi Chacham from about 300 years ago, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulay, in his writings on Parshas Bo, on the pasuk that describes the Choshech, he quotes from one of the Rishonim, who says, when did those Jews die in that plague of darkness? Those 4/5 of Klal Yisrael, who didn't leave Mitzrayim. One of the Rishonim says, he quotes it here, he said it was the 13th of Adar. It's the 13th of Adar. Again, what exactly the calculation is a good question. And therefore, Haman says, the 13th of Adar. That's a good time. It's a good time to go after the Jews. At the end of Moshe's Shiva, that's the time when the Jewish people lost 4/5 in the darkness of Mitzrayim. But little did Haman know that out of that darkness, that the Jewish people have 1/5 that will survive. Sfarim explained, it's not for now, but there's 5 parts to the neshama. 4 parts of the neshama maybe could be wiped out, but there's a pintaliyah. There's a part of the soul called the yechida, the depth of the Jewish soul that can never be destroyed. And that's what Esther davens. In Tehillim Perachov Beis, the tefillah that we say, as sort of like the Shir Shel Yom for Purim itself. Esther davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatzila Micherev Nafshi, Hatzila, protect Micherev from the sword, my soul, Miyad Kelev Yechidasi. Protect my yechida from the dog. The dog is always a malik. A malik is compared to a dog. Hatzila Micherev Nafshi. This farm says, so is Rashi Tehu's Haman. Hatzila Micherev Nafshi. Save me from Haman. Save me from that dog called a malik. Save the Yechida. When 4/5 of the Jews died at a time, but Hashem, I also know that 1/5 got out. I know there's the Yechida. I know there's a part of a Jew that can never ever be destroyed by any force or any source of destruction in the world. And I'm going to keep finding it. The Kamarna Rebbe writes in his commentary on Megillas Esther, Vayagilo, the pasuk says, Vayagilo Mordechai is kol asher karam. Mordechai heard what happened. What's Haman trying to do? Haman gave a lot of money. So what? What's Mordechai so worried about? The Kamarna Rebbe says, what was Haman trying to do? He gave the money. Amar Haman lishkol al ginze hamelech. The Kamarna Rebbe says that spark of a Jew, that point of connection, right, that's called the ginze hamelech. That's the treasure house. It's the secret storehouse of a Jew. It's the source of our deepest energy and connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Haman's going after it. And Esther davens, Hatzila micherev nafshi, protect me, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Miad kelev yichidasi. Make sure that part of my neshama is going to emerge. And of course, part of Klal Yisrael's neshama always emerges. That's the story of Yitzhak. That's the story of Purim. That's the story of Klal Yisrael. Rav Gifter and Rav Elia Meir Blach were in America after World War II. Telz was completely destroyed. Telz in Lithuania was completely destroyed. Such a horror, but if you've ever read about Telz, it was as bad as it gets. Rav Gifter and Rav Elia Meir were in America, and they were going to try to rebuild Telz. And they found themselves walking a street one day in New York. Tells, of course, would eventually settle elsewhere. But they were in New York at the time, and they walked into what must have been, I can't imagine, a very fine Judaica store. A Svarim store, whatever Svarim store must have looked like at that time. And they walk into the store, and they see there's an older Jewish man who runs this Judaica shop. Again, it probably wasn't a big moneymaker. Certainly didn't have anything like the YU Svarim sale. There was hardly any books. But they're building a yeshiva. And if you're building a yeshiva, you need yeshiva shesvarim. So they turn to the fellow behind the desk, and they say, is it possible that maybe you have a copy of the Ketzos HaChoshen? You run a yeshiva without a Ketzos HaChoshen. So the fellow laughs, and he says, it's funny, I have some old books, let me take a look. Goes to the back of the store, and he digs up this old yellowing paper, this old copy of the Ketzos HaChoshen, and he brings it out. And he hands it to Rav Gifter and Rav Blach. He says, I'm giving this to you on one condition. He says, I know what you're up to. Right? He spoke to him, he says, I know what you're up to, you're trying to rebuild yeshivas in America. Let me tell you something. There's not going to be yeshivas in America. It's not going to be yeshivas. You're not going to rebuild Telz in America. It doesn't work like that here. I've been here a while. I survived the war. I've been here a while. Trust me. People aren't interested in these things here. He said, this is an old box of books that I happen to have. This stuff's not going to sell here. And then he said to them, I want you just to take note of this historic moment. He turned to them with a real sense of chutzpah. And he said to them, I just want you to know, this is a historic moment in Jewish history, in American Jewish history. This is the sale of the last Ketzos HaChoshen in America. This is the last time such a book will ever be purchased in America. I promise you, no one's interested in this stuff anymore. Get over it. And when Rav Gifter used to retell this story, Rav Gifter said, the amount of times the Ketzos has been printed in America, forget purchased in America, printed in America, the actual printed editions of Ketzos HaChoshen printed in America, from that time of the sale of the last Ketzos HaChoshen in America, outnumbers all of the printings of the Ketzos HaChoshen prior to that period. What was Rav Gifter and Rav Elia Meir Blach doing? Being laughed in the face by our fellow Jew who didn't believe. But they said, of course we're going to rebuild Torah in America. How can we not rebuild Torah in America? Klal Yisrael will always go on. There's going to be people who fall before Haman. But there's going to be Mordechai who are Ish Yehudi Chayav B'Shushan Habir. A Jew is Ish, Ein Shum Yesh, will never give up. Will always find a way to pick himself up and to try again. And again, that's the secret and that's the story of Klal Yisrael. Why did Yitzhak Avinu, maybe more so than any of the other Avos, feel such an achrayus to defend Klal Yisrael in this way? Because Yitzhak Avinu was the one who's most closely related to Amalek. Yitzhak has a son, a Yaakov, but he also has an Esav. And Esav has a grandson whose name is Amalek. And therefore, maybe Bipnimius, Yitzhak, in some way, right, has to be the tikkun, has to be the one to defend us on Purim, has to be the one who teaches us this lesson of never giving up on Purim. Because of Yitzhak's personal connection to Amalek. I want to end, I'd like to end with just a Gemara in Shabbos, and just two final stories. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Pei Tes tells of a conversation that Hashem is going to have in the future. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to turn to the Avos, and He's going to ask the Avos, what are you going to do for Klal Yisrael? As if they haven't done enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Avos HaKadoshim and says, Avram Avinu, your children have sinned. Avram Avinu says, I have nothing to do with them. They're not my problem. Your problem, God. I thought you'd have Rachmanis. Okay. Well, Yaakov will certainly have Rachmanis because Yaakov had Tsar Gidol Banim, says the Gemara. He struggled to raise his children. He'll have Rachmanis on his children. Hashem turns to Yaakov Avinu, Klal Yisrael have made some mistake. What are you going to do for them? Not my problem. Hashem comes to Yitzhak Avinu. Ironically, listen to this. Yitzhak Avinu, whose midah is the midah of Gvura, midah Sadin. And yet, from Yitzhak emerges that ironic laughter. That vina hafachu of Purim. Amr lo Yitzhak. Says to Yitzhak. Banecha chatuli. Your children have sinned against me. Amr lefana ribona sha'olam. My children, our children, for our children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, when they said Nasa v'Nishma, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you looked at that Klal Yisrael, and you spoke about them, you referred to them also as your children. B'ni b'chor Yisrael. You told Paro, don't mess with the Jewish people. So they're your children also. So let's come up with a plan together. Yitzchak says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all, how much sinning could they possibly do? A person only lives 70 years. You sleep away half the time, you eat half the time, you're in the bathroom half the time, the Gemara says. Right? So when you whittle it all down, it's basically 12 and a half years of life. How many sins could they have possibly done? And Yitzchak says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I'll make a deal with you. Pal ga'alai u pal ga'alach. I'll take half, and you take half. The Melech makes an offer. Achatzi ha'malchus. Let's split. Offers Esther. You take half, I'll take half. Yitzchak says, I'll take half, and you take half. And let's bring the Gula together. Amar lehem Yitzchak. I'm sorry, Yitzchak says to Klal Yisrael, when they find out that Yitzchak is the one who stood up for them. And again, all the Sfarim are trying to figure out, everyone's wondering, Yitzchak's the one who saves Klal Yisrael? Not the Chesed of Avram, not the Torah of Yaakov, the Midas Hadin, the Gvura of Yitzchak. But Yitzchak in some strange way, the Vinahafachu, Yitzchak is dafka the one who takes us to Mashiach. And the Klal Yisrael hear about this and they start to praise Yitzchak. Yitzchak says, don't praise me, praise the Kodesh Baruch, because we're sharing the job. Yitzchak is the one who brings us to the Gula in some very strange, and ironic type of way. But again, that's the story of Klal Yisrael. That's the story of Purim. That's the story of those Jewish couples at the Shasathan praying for a baby after so many years. That's the story of Mordechai HaTzadik standing up against the Haman. That's the story of Rav Gifter and Rav Bloch buying the last tells, buying the last katzos in America to rebuild the tells yeshiva after it had been completely decimated during the war. And that's the story of Klal Yisrael. Perhaps that's the secret and interconnection between the world of Yitzchak Avinu and the world of Purim. I'll end with a story from the Bava Rebbe. The Bava Rebbe, the third Bava Rebbe, or Shlomo Halberstam, suffered terribly during the war, passed away in 2000, the year 2000. And during the war, at one point, the Baba Verebitzin got some flour, and she was baking challahs, and that was obviously a very terrible crime. And the officers came knocking on the door, and Gestapo came, threw the Baba Rebbe into jail, and he's sitting there in jail. He uses his connection, somehow he gets somebody, bribes someone somehow to get a letter to his family, and the jailer comes back, and he gives him a signal, it's not going to go. And he says, this is it. It's time to prepare myself to die al Kiddush Hashem. This is, unfortunately, the way that it goes sometimes for Klal Yisrael. And I'm going to do so proudly. And he sits down. Again, I'm not sure how he had paper and pen, but he sat down to write his last will and testament for his children. He was going to be able to at least smuggle it out. They weren't going to get him out, but he was going to be able to get a message out to his children. And he sat down to write, and it was Parshas Tetzaveh. It was this Shabbos' Parsha. And Kedarcha B'Kodesh, in the way of rabbinic literature, at the top of the page, you write the Parsha, you write the date, and you write a Pasuk that captures the mood. And he's thinking about the Parsha, and he thinks about a Pasuk. He says, this Pasuk captures the mood. V'hoya al Aaron l'shares, v'nishma kolo, b'vo'a l'kodesh l'fnei Hashem. Let his voice be heard, Aaron, right? Not his voice, it's the bells, it's the sounds of Aaron's begadim, as he enters the Kodesh Kodashim, v'nishma kolo, that his presence will be known, as he enters into the Kodesh. So the Bava Rebbe said, I'm about to enter into the Kodesh. I'm about to die al Kiddush Hashem. V'nishma kolo, this is my last will and testament. Allow my voice to be heard to my dear children one last time. And then the Bava Rebbe, as he started to write, all of a sudden he stopped. And he said, wait a minute. What's the end of that pasuk? V'nishma kolo b'vo'a l'kodesh l'fnei Hashem u'v'tzeiso v'lo yamus. When the Kohen Gadol makes that noise on his way in and on his way out, right? V'lo yamus. The Bava Rebbe said, hold on a second. I'm Klal Yisrael. You remember, he didn't give up. All of a sudden he said, I can't give up. V'nishma kolo, I'm writing my last will and testament. V'lo yamus. Who says I'm going to die? Why should I assume I'm going to die? Because the situation looks bleak, it looks grim. That's the story of Klal Yisrael. That's the Yisrael Gavino, that's Purim. And he ripped up the last will and testament, and his family eventually bribed him and got him out of jail. They were able to save him. And that was the Bava Rebbe who came to America and rebuilt Babov Chassidus till this very day. That's the story of Klal Yisrael. So Mirtz Hashem, as we come to the Yom Tov of Purim, right, and someone stops you in the street and says, so tell me something about Purim. So I say, Purim, the Yom Tov of Yitzchak Avinu. It's the Yom Tov of Yitzchak Avinu. It's not Mordechai, it's not Esther, it's not Big Son and Seresh, it's the Yom Tov of Yitzchak Avinu. It's the story of Klal Yisrael. It's from Misa to Chai. It's the story of Klal Yisrael emerging from under the weight of the world and always finding a way back. Just tell you one final story. The Boston Marathon used to run past his house. That was part of the trail on the Boston Marathon. And he said such an amazing thing. And this will really be my closing bracha to each and every one of us. The Boston Rebbe said that as he would watch the marathon runners run past the house, there were some people who, you know, were winning the marathon. And he said, but it was such a chizik for him to see those individuals, right, after 4 or 5 hours, who are still running the marathon. And he thought to himself, he said, why don't they just give up? They're not going to win the marathon. It's over already. The winner won long, an hour and a half ago. And he sees people and they're broken. He said, I looked at them. They were schlepping. They were broken, schwitzing, schlepping their broken bones across the finish line. And the Boston Rebbe said, it was such a musr for me. He said, it's such a musr for Klal Yisrael. We've suffered so much. We've been through so much. Right? We've run such a marathon. But who drops out for the last mile? Of course it's hard. You're not going to win. But Klal Yisrael are going to win. And we're going to find a way to make that final push. And he said, it was such a chizik for him to know that sometimes, you know, you work hard for a long time and eventually you get there. So Mirza Hashem, we should be zochet, see that geula, and here be amen with our own eyes.
Thank you. How are you? This is very special.